This is Matt Wells at UN News. Reasonable progress has been made so far drawing down the UN's former peacekeeping mission in Darfur, UNAMID, and cooperation on the part of the Sudanese government has been excellent. That's according to the head of the UN Department of Operational Support, Atul Khare, who recently returned from a visit to Sudan, where despite the presence of a new political mission, UNITAMS, the transitional government's ready to assume full responsibility for civilian protection across the restive region. Nearly half of the team sites formerly run by the UN have been handed over so far, and by the end of June, the only uniformed presence will be a formed police unit, as Mr. Khare told UN News' Liz Scafidi.
Some of these sites are being used as vocational training centers. A site which we have recently handed over in Kalma will be used by the IDPs, the internally displaced people themselves. And there is a major site in Zalinje which will be used for expansion of the university. The government of Sudan and community leaders have committed to the civilian end use of these sites for further strengthening of democracy and development in Sudan and particularly Darfur.
Who will be responsible now for protecting the civilians with UNAMID gone?
You know, the responsibility of civilians is first and foremost a responsibility of national authorities. The transitional government of Sudan is ready to fully assume these responsibilities as it had indicated to the Security Council. We will be there. The United Nations established a political mission called UNITAMS, the mission of support and assistance. It is much smaller in scale, but it has responsibilities Sudan-wide and will assist the transitional government, including inter alia, in the training of the joint forces that will be responsible for security in Darfur.
UNAMID ended on 31 December. You said that the uniformed peacekeepers on the ground will be repatriated in June?
Before June. They are being repatriated in a phased manner. As the team sites close and as they are handed over to the Sudanese authorities and other assets disposed of appropriately following the financial rules and regulations, then the uniformed people are withdrawn from those sites and repatriated. Counting Kalma, now we have handed over 6 out of the 15 sites, and I think that is a reasonable progress in the first little less than 3 months of the drawdown period. At the end of the drawdown period, we will have a very small guard unit of around 2 formed police units, which will remain to guard our assets in 1 or 2 locations, which will still remain during the liquidation period. But this guard unit would be focused internally. And of course, external security will be fully assumed by the authorities of Sudan.
When will all peacekeepers be out of Darfur?
Latest by 30th of June of this year, except, as I said, for this small formed police unit, which will be our guard unit as sanctioned by the Security Council.
UNAMID has built a series of large camps and team sites throughout Darfur. What will be happening to those premises with UNAMID withdrawing?
All assets and premises must be either returned, sold, donated, or disposed. The equipment in the team sites will have to be sent back to the countries who are providing the contingents. Some small quantity of specialized UN equipment will go to other peacekeeping missions or for storage in Brindisi, and some commercial sales are also being organized. But the vast majority of assets in the team sites, unless they belong to a private party and had been rented by us, would be handed over to the government of Sudan for appropriate civilian use by the local populations. Indeed, is happening in Zalinje, which will expand its local university. It is also possible that the site in Al-Fashir, which is one of the largest sites, and will be handed over not now, but at the end of the liquidation period, and that site might be used for various purposes by the governor and the community of North Darfur.
There were reports that some former UN sites were destroyed once the UN withdrew from them. What's being done to prevent that from happening again?
This had happened with a site called Saraf Umra, which was actually the first site to be handed over after the closure. And I took it up very strongly with the authorities of Sudan. They have assured me that they are going to take all necessary security precautions to ensure that such incidents do not recur. I have underlined to them that occupation and use of sites is of critical importance, because a site which is not used, which is left vacant, is more likely to be destroyed or looted. And that is why the Civilian End Use Framework Agreement foresees that the civilian end users are identified before the site is handed over, and that they are encouraged to start using the site from day one. In fact, in case of Zalinji, we have decided to even co-locate. So gradually, the Zalinji University will keep on coming and locating along with us, while some of our people remain in Zalinji. And in a phased manner, one day will come when actually their presence would keep on increasing and would be in total possession of the site, and we will withdraw. So I think we have good mechanisms in place. There was another site where some degree of theft took place a few days ago, and I am delighted that the government of Sudan has already recovered more than 90% of the assets which were stolen.
I think that the destruction of UN properties may discourage potential donors from providing funds to Sudan?
As the Secretary General, my boss, has said that the destruction of property is to the detriment of people of Darfur, people of Sudan, because these were assets which were to be used for their development, for their democracy, and we hope that these incidents will not recur. And again, I am happy that in a recent case where a minor theft took place, the government of Sudan has indeed taken appropriate actions to recover the assets which were stolen.
Overall, how would you describe Sudan's cooperation on the withdrawal and liquidation of UNAMID?
I would say that the overall support is excellent. I can do no better than quote the foreign minister of Sudan, Her Excellency Mariam Al-Sadiq Al-Mahdi, who told me that the withdrawal and liquidation should be a shining example of cooperation between United Nations and Sudan, and an example for any further drawdowns or closures which happen in other parts of the world. Everybody is on board with the drawdown plans and the transition planning. I also believe that that is why they were able to conclude and sign on the last day of my visit in Khartoum, the framework agreement or handover of UNAMID sites. And this is extremely positive. We look forward and we hope that this collaboration will continue, because the timelines which we have are extremely aggressive. At the end of December, we had more than 7,700 uniformed personnel who were in Darfur. To withdraw all of them and their equipment in less than 6 months is extremely challenging. It is even more challenging given the environmental conditions and the distances of Al-Fasher from the port of Sudan. But I think together, government of Sudan, us local authorities, we can meet this challenge and successfully overcome it.
You had mentioned the Security Council. They established a political mission in Sudan last year. How is that different from UNAMID?
The political mission is first and foremost Sudan-wide, and its responsibility is to support the transitional authorities in their efforts to have peace, democracy, and development. While there, I was able to meet with colleagues from UNITAMS, and I must say that they are extremely committed and dedicated to their task. I heard good words about UNITAMS from all my government interlocutors, and I think this bodes well for both Sudan and the United Nations.
I understand that you also traveled to Abyei. What was the purpose of your visit there?
The main reason was to visit the leadership of not only our mission, UNISFA, but also to meet with the local leadership, given that with the signature of the Juba Peace Agreement on peace in Darfur, relationship between both Sudan and South Sudan had been considerably improving. I went not only to Abyei, but also I went to Difra. I met with both the Miseria community as also with the Ngok Dinka community in Abyei. I believe that with time, both as joint Sudan and South Sudan structures are put in place for security and administration, many challenges which are in that area will be addressed, and that we are looking forward to the consultations which are being carried forward right now, and we will take a decision on how the future of UNISFA can be appropriately adapted to the situation on the ground and to the improving relations between both Sudan and South Sudan.
You mentioned that the situation between Sudan and South Sudan has improved. How has this impacted UNIFSA?
There was an agreement in 2011 which decided that there should be joint structures for governance in Abyei. Those structures need to be put in place. We encourage both countries to do that as quickly as we can. And in the interim time, of course, UNISFA is a mission which provides for security in that area. As joint structures are put in place, there will be a need to review the structure and the composition of UNISFA, and which we'll be ready to do at the right time.
How effective has the UN Nairobi Hospital treatment facility been, and how many medevacs has it supported since its opening?
Extremely useful. In fact, it opened on 13 November 2020. I personally thanked His Excellency President Kenyatta for this facility which we have put up together. We had decided even in the beginning that ethically and morally, it is important that the facility treats both UN medical evacuations from other countries, but also if a bed is available, then Kenyan nationals who require treatment. Since the big opening of this facility by President Kenyatta on 13th of November 2020, 98 medical evacuations have been completed. In fact, this represents a majority of the UN medical evacuations undertaken since May 2020 when we established the system-wide medical evacuation mechanism.
Is it right that the UN has partnered with Kenya to support UN peacekeeping?
Absolutely. Kenya is an extremely critical partner for us. Not only it provides troops and police who are right now deployed in Darfur and who will be one of the last to be repatriated, it is also supported by us for its participation in the African Union mission in Somalia, AMISOM, where a large number of Kenyan defense forces are working under the African Union flag, supported logistically by my own department. In addition, we have to prepare peacekeepers for the future. We decided to conduct what is known as the Triangular Partnership Program. And the place where we started was Kenya, the International Peacekeeping Training Center, where we provide training in use of heavy engineering equipment to colleagues from uniformed potential peacekeepers. This program has been working well. I visited the IPSTC and discussed with them how in the post-COVID-19 environment, we could have a hybrid program with some practical classes continuing in Kenya and the theoretical classes being undertaken online.
What is the approach for the vaccination of staff in the duty station like Nairobi?
We should provide vaccinations for our staff and personnel as quickly as reasonably possible. Of course, respecting the prioritization of WHO along with the risk exposure and the ability to bear that exposure. Most of our people will get the vaccination from National Immunization Program. All UN personnel and dependents will be included in the immunization plan of Kenya, because Kenya has the largest population of UN staff member and personnel. And subsequently, in the early part of next week, the vaccinations of UN personnel in Kenya would actually commence. We are making arrangements to vaccinate our people directly if the host country is not in a position to do so.